We're going to study about a daughter's distress. Amen. I want you to go to the 25th chapter and verse number 21. Amen. Verse number 21. Praise God. Fifth chapter. Have you been studying along with us? Huh? Okay. Hey, I want you to study along with us. This will keep us going here. I want you to put your Bible, of course, on your nightstand and or wherever it is you're at the most, maybe near the refrigerator or something. I don't like to be still somewhere without something to do. Are y'all that way? I just get, I like to keep a book. I'll tell you, when my daughter, she'll have me take her shopping sometimes, and I've got a little system on that shopping. Anybody want to hear it? Okay, of course, it's going to cost me either way, but I usually get me a book. Now, how many of you brethren listen? I'm going to give you an idea on this shopping business. And I'll go into the parking lot, and I'll put money out, and I'll get my book out, and I'll run the air conditioner, and I'll say, I'll be here if you need me. How many knows that's a good way to shop? And I can read a half a book sometimes by the time they look through every piece on the rack, But I tell you, I'd recommend putting that good book, amen, somewhere close, amen. And a New Testament or something, which you already know this. You say, preacher, no, you don't have to tell us what to do. All that. Well, since I'm the pastor, that's my job, So anyway, Mark chapter 5, verse 21, I'm preaching on a daughter in distress. And when Jesus, are you with me? Everybody there? When Jesus was passed over again, back across the sea from Gadarene, he passed back to the other side after delivering the legion. Much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea in Capernaum. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus was his name. Jairus. Jairus means enlightened of the Lord. He's getting ready. He's been enlightened. How many's glad you've been enlightened? And when Jairus saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna teach down to the woman with the issue, and then we'll pick this up. But today I want to preach on this daughter in distress. Now here comes a father. This is the father, as the scriptures will tell you. He is a ruler of the synagogue. Now a synagogue was kind of like the local church. In the Old Testament, the temple was the main. Really, the Lord didn't want them having church away from the temple, because it ended paganism and worship. And you remember those that on the other side of the river, and they ended up building an altar over there. He didn't want them doing that. In the New Testament, and after the destruction of the temple, they began having church in these local church. And the synagogue basically was a local gathering. And they would, have and read. How many remembers Jesus? He went there often. He went there often. And they'd sit down, the rabbis sit down, read the word of God. That's when the Lord read in the synagogue. Well, this man Jairus was a synagogue ruler. In other words, he was a very religious man. And he, the ruler of the synagogue, according to the history, some that I read about it, You know, he was kind of the administrator of the synagogue. He opened the door for the services. He invited those that would to come up and speak, and he was kind of moderated the service, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And no doubt, being a ruler of the synagogue there in Capernaum, he had seen Jesus probably. And so, you know, he may have been there when he was 12 years old. Of course, I know he was in the temple, but it's probably a little synagogue even right in the temple. And so this leader, amen, had a problem. How many knows that no matter what your position in church, you still have your troubles? And so Jairus had a real burden. He had a burden, amen, that I don't know if a father could have any greater burden, Brother Bob, than what he had. You fathers here this morning, when your children hurt, you hurt. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. And Jairus, being a man that was enlightened, so to speak, and had faith in Christ and trust in Christ, and had a burden for a daughter. Amen. And so he came, amen, approaching Jesus, and he fell at his feet. Here's a ruler of a synagogue, the administrator, the moderator, the church leader, the elder. Amen. Finding Jesus. How many knows if we don't find Jesus, church ain't helping much? Amen. Well, I want to preach to you a little bit this morning. I want you to look at something in here. I want you to see the heart, the compassion. You know, we're living in a world that doesn't care enough. Amen. The Bible said that men would be without natural affection. Now, I'm going to tell you, God gave us a connection in this world to pull compassion out of us. Amen. He created man and saw that it was not good. You mean God created a situation that wasn't good? He said, amen, it was not good that man should dwell alone. Man needs fellowship, needs help. Do you think the scripture where it said he created a woman to be a helpmeet for him, do you think it really meant that? You don't think he created a pain in the side, do you? I mean, in the neck, the side, yeah. It wasn't just the pain. He didn't feel a thing. It was a helpmeet. And I'll tell you, I'm going to preach a little bit here this morning. You know, sometime in our culture, husband and wife have been such a joke. People make so many jokes about the relationship between a husband and wife that it's absurd. You know, a true marriage is not nagging and fussing and growling and abusing and dominating and feminism and all that nonsense. Amen. A true marriage as husband and wife are as one. And so it solicited a passion, a compassion, a sympathy. Woo! Can you say amen? Wives, do you sympathize with your husbands? You know that's what he needs. How many knows that's what he needs? He don't need sympathy. Oh, he's a big liar. Then when a child is born, this man, and you say, well, you're going out. I'm going to teach this. That's like, I feel like teaching Jairus. Hey, man, we don't know his daughter's name. We know Jairus' name. Jairus didn't ask one thing for himself. He come out there and he said, Lord, I've got a daughter. And this is the way he said it, a little daughter. I don't know how old that would be, amen, but the Lord, he gave his petition, 12 years old, he gave his petition to the Lord on behalf of somebody else. How many know, amen, this little girl, 12 years old, amen, she was at death's door. One of the gospels even says, interpreted as being dead, but this one says she was at death's door. I want to ask you, as I studied this lesson today, I wondered how many daughters are at death's door this morning. Are you with me? Amen. And here's a father that left his religious position and left his synagogue, amen, and went to find, amen, the Lord of the house. Amen. Not just the house of the Lord. Oh, hear me now. Somehow or another, you remember when Nehemiah was instructing to build the wall, and there was a little gossip going on, and the enemy was trying to propaganda and sowing discord, and there was confusion on the wall. And then he said, come here. And he put them on the wall by families. Are you listening to me? He put them on the wall by families. Every man, his family in chorus. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you, if we can't have sympathy with our own flesh and blood, amen, we can't really have sympathy on anybody. Even a preacher, if I don't take care of those in my own household and love them and care for them and lead them and pray for them, amen, there's no need of me getting up acting like a spiritual leader, amen, when I sell my own family short. Somebody say amen? No, Jairus, he was the leader of the church. He's the one, you remember calling him up, and it said to the chief seat, amen, so to speak. He's the one that passed, that kept the scrolls, kept them in stock, kept them stored, kept them rolled up. He's the one that took them out and handed them to the rabbi to read, or whoever it was turned to read. But I'll tell you what, that every day, hear me now. I got 15 minutes to preach this to you. Amen. But listen, amen. There came a time in his home, amen, where the scrolls and the performance, amen, and the administration of that synagogue was important, but it wasn't all, amen, that he needed. He needed to meet personally, amen, the healer, amen, a body. Somebody say amen. Brother Steve, help me. Turn to Matthew, I believe it is chapter 8. And there's a scripture just popped in my head, and I cannot remember verses exactly. But in Matthew 8, it talks about, there's two verses there that might be in a little bracket. It talks about, amen, it's quoting Isaiah 53:4, I believe. Anybody want to turn to Isaiah 53:4? What verse? Verse 17. I believe it is. Read it loud right there. Whoa, did you hear that? Wow. Isaiah 53:4 doesn't really, it says what, Brother Bob?
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Amen. Amen. Yes. You say, what was Jairus coming out? Why was he leaving the synagogue? Amen. He had a girl at home. She's almost dead. Amen. I can't prove this, but I'd say Isaiah 53:4 was in that man's heart. I'd say that was in them scrolls that was in that safe place. Amen. He'd probably read it with his own eyeballs. Are you listening to me? Amen. And it said in there, he shall bear your grief. That word grief, Matthew interpreted that grief, amen, as sicknesses. Are you listening to me? By his stripes you're healed. The Lord bear your sicknesses. Amen. If it's cancer, amen, diabetes, amen. Come on now. No matter what the sickness was, we don't know what this girl had, but she had a sickness that was almost to take her out. Jairus said, I must find him that is fulfilling Isaiah 53:4. He has borne our sicknesses, and he can heal my little girl. Woo! You believe that? So he was driven by, amen, number one, the compassion he had for his little girl. Can you imagine, Brother Derek, your little girl laying, not playing, not eating, restless, her breath slowly fading? What are you going to do? Isaiah 53:4. I know what I'll do. They read that just last Sabbath day in the temple, in the synagogue. I know what I'll do. I'll find this man. Saw his ship coming to shore. Amen. Came. And I'll tell you what he did. He didn't walk up and say, pull out his credentials and say, I'm the ruler at the synagogue at Capernaum. Amen. I want you to come. No, he fell at his feet. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. I'll tell you, we're going to get a hold of God. Number one, we're going to have compassion and be willing to intercede. My mom, all my life tried her best to serve the Lord. And many of those years, she didn't go to the church house. My dad wouldn't go to the church house. Amen. And so, but she tried to live for the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I know she did. Amen. I watched her life as a boy. And when whatever happened in the household, when my older brother got his license, amen, my mom prayed without ceasing. When I got my license, she doubled down on it. Huh? Amen. I want to tell you something. There ain't nobody hardly in this house. Amen. That somebody didn't intercede for them. Are you listening to me? Amen. And that's what Dad is doing. He has a sympathy. I want to tell you. Amen. Hear me now. Amen. I want to tell you. Amen. Listen. Joshua said, as for me and my house, not just me, I want to go to heaven, but I want to go to heaven with my family. Amen. I want to be well, but I want my loved ones to be well also. Are you listening to me? Amen. Do you mention your children's name to the Lord? Do you have sympathy on them? Amen. Come on now. You're not getting this, are you, sweethearts? You say, well, where in the world is all that in there? I'm just telling you what the Lord put in my meditations. He was a ruler of the synagogue, but it didn't keep him from humbling himself before the one Isaiah 53 and 4 talked about. You remember the man I've told you about several times? I was listening to the radio. I believe it was James Dobson had a man on there that had lost his voice. Had some kind of vocal cord paralyzation or whatever, and he was giving his last Sunday school lesson on Isaiah 53, and while he was talking on Isaiah 53, and really he was explaining that it was spiritual and physical, amen, and while he was explaining that it was spiritual and not physical, the Lord healed him physically. Woo! Anybody believe that? Say amen. And it was amazing. As longer he talked, the more excited he got, and it was a Baptist church, and I think they shouted. I'm going to tell you, sister, either are sick, the church needs to get sympathy for him. Right? You ever hear that old Indian proverb that says, not to judge me till you've walked a mile in my moccasins? Anybody ever hear that? You know what that means? Huh? That means for us to try. You remember what Ezekiel did when he went to deal with the children of Israel? They weren't doing right. The Bible said he sat where they sat. He sat where they sat. He related to them. He got down where they were and tried to relate to what they were going through. Not doing any good. You know, I've been a daddy. Sometimes I think the expiration date runs out on daddies. You tell your kids that they don't do. you've run out, praise God. But I know what it's like to feel physically your children suffering. How do you feel when you know one of your children physically, their days are numbered? They're not going to live any longer. 12 years old. How do you feel? You ain't preaching with me. How do you feel when you realize the things you've enjoyed as a young adult, that your little girl's not going to enjoy that? She's not going to get married. She's not going to have children. She's not going to get a cell phone. Praise the Lord. You ain't going with me. Why are you not going with me? Does it hurt too much to feel that? Is it too much of a burden for you to feel, to sympathize, to be moved? Would you rather ignore it, block it out? It's in God's hands. I've taught them right. Is that it? Are we just going to mark them off? I taught her right. I taught her. She knows better. Let her feel a little fire. Let her get burned. No, not a father. Father don't do that. You got quiet on me right there. I said, a father don't feel that way. A father wants her to get better. A father wants her to be rescued. A father wants her delivered. And there's only one source of deliverance. Brother Steve said it here today. He said, there's nothing out there in this world. Conviction was in here Sunday night. Are you listening to her Friday night? Conviction was in here Friday night. Come on now. Come on now. I want you to soften up a little bit. You hear me? I want you to soften up a little bit. I tell you, they will do right. I'll beat the hide off her back. Soften up here a little bit. Soften up here. Let's get a little compassion here. If you can't beat your kids with compassion, don't touch them. You said, ain't none of your business. I'm making it my business right here. Am I right or not? Huh? Your children don't need to feel like you're the bully of the hour. You're the loving father. Sure, you correct them with love. Chasing those you love. Amen? This little girl, can you imagine a daddy going in looking at a little old girl, her color gone out of her face? He hated to leave her side. She may not be alive when he gets home. But he's going to take a chance on Jesus. Somebody say amen. So, he sees him coming and falls at his feet. Listen to this. Listen to this pitiful intercession. He besought him greatly. Get that? That condemns me right there just about. He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter. You feel that? Can you feel the compassion in that? My little daughter. My little daughter. My little, frail, vulnerable, precious daughter lieth at the point of death. That's an intercessor. I pray thee, come. Listen to this. Listen to this faith. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. My daughter. My little weak daughter. Ooh. Lord, come. Lay your hands on her. Isn't that something, how the Lord instituted the laying on of hands? Isn't that unusual? Would you have done it that way? He did. Come and lay your hand on her. The hand that created earth and sky. The hand that one finger of God is more powerful than the universe. Woo! Sweet Lamb of God. Let's look at this. We're already looking at this like this, spiritually. Got a daughter away. Don't care how old they are, they seem like little daughters. I don't care how ornery they've been. They're still yours. You ain't helping me, are you? I've crossed your doctrine, haven't I? Huh? I've cracked that old hard spirit. And now you don't want that. I'm going to tell you, if we gain ground with Christ, we're going to have pity and sympathy on our own. Amen. That are away from God. Somebody say, you won't get spiritual enough that your children are not your own. They may make you sick, and they may disagree with everything you believe, but you're not going to get so righteous that your heart should not be leaned towards your own. Somebody say amen. And I'll tell you, God believe. How many believes that God hears a mother or father's plea? Do you believe that? Raise your hand if you think they believe it. You think God hears it? A lot of you are here this morning because God heard your parents pray. I'm going to close with, Brother Steve, you still there? And Mark, are you in Mark? Okay, read that next verse. After he made his plea, just read that first phrase. Listen to this. That's it. That's all I need. And Jesus went with him. You know, the Bible said, because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxed cold. I don't want the Lord to, I don't want my life to be hardened that I can't have sympathy on. If I can't have sympathy, then I can't preach. Say amen if you agree with me. If I, you know, the Bible said when Jesus saw the multitude, what was it moved Jesus? He was moved with compassion. He felt with them. He had a feeling of sympathy and empathy. He felt with them. He took on the flesh so he could sympathize with us. And he's here this morning. God help us be tender toward the cause of Christ. This synagogue ruler, churchgoer, leader of the church, he got desperate. He sought God greatly. He even cried out, "Oh, God, Jesus." He knew he was Isaiah 53 incarnate. He knew that he had bore our sicknesses. He didn't cross the line illegally, presumptuously. He knew this man was a healer. Do you know Jesus is a healer? Obamacare, Trump care. Jesus cares. Which one you buy? Huh? I'm not making fun. I'm telling you, Jesus is the one that cares. Can you say amen? We're vulnerable people. We're born. We crawl. We stand. We walk. We run. We walk. We die. Vulnerable. We need a Savior. How many knows we need a sympathetic Savior? We'll deal with this more, but the Bible said Jesus went with him. You know the end of this story, don't you? We're going to do that a couple of times. But this is where we're going to leave Jairus, enlightened one. We're going to leave him with Jesus walking toward a daughter that, but now, has passed away. Jesus called it sleeping. He could call it that because that's all it is to Jesus, is just asleep because he can wake them up. To us, it's a horrible fear and death and valley, but to Jesus, it's just a nap. How many understands? Because he had the power of death. He could just tell death off, get up. You believe you got a Savior like that? I wore you out, to quote brothers. I wore you out. Didn't mean to. Praise God. Let's stand. Hey, I want to ask you while I was preaching this morning, I want to ask the Father something. Could you relate to that? Could you relate to that Father feeling while I was preaching? How many could? Raise your hand if you could relate to that. That sympathy you have for your little girl, if somebody... you think David was a warrior. Man, you let somebody touch one of your little daughters. Woo! Deliver me, Lord. Huh? That's the way it's supposed to be. Am I right? That's what God intended. He wants you to be so sympathetic with your children, mother and daddy, amen, that you wouldn't even think about a day going by that you don't call their name before God so that they'll not die eternally. Father, we thank you this morning for this lesson and the audience, for this daughter in distress and a father that intercedes and a Savior that has sympathy. Woo. Lord, we ask you to help us believe Isaiah 53. And believe that Christ has the hands that can heal. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.